Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Right there, there it is! Into left field! It's number 3,000! A run is scored! Mucci ran first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam, and a crease! The kicker can't trip him up! Headed for the end zone! Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Brower. Rebound. He scores. Try Brower. The former Blackhawk has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you until 12 o'clock. We got a good one lined up today, a couple of greats, actually. Joe Micheletti, NBC Sports, MSG. Brian, do we know, is he going to be on the, hopefully on the San Jose Blues?
You know, it'd be nice. It would make sense. We found out yesterday that Eddie Olczyk is going to Boston.
Okay.
For that series. So
I would guess Pierre
would probably do in the Boston series too, so it would make sense.
Pierre actually does both.
Yeah.
He goes back and
he goes everywhere.
He doesn't miss a game.
Yeah. So it would make sense to have, unless you want to put, who is the female broadcaster that everyone likes? Not the one who was kind of a little.
Yeah, the taller one?
Yeah, not the one who seemed really nervous on the air, the other one. Maybe they put her in the booth. I'm guessing it's Kenny Albert too, right? Probably Kenny, because you're going to get Doc with.
Yes.
With. Eddie, so Kenny, probably Kenny and her and Pierre, I guess.
And by the way, I don't think Kenny Albert's bad at all.
I like Kenny. Blasi hates him, but I like Kenny.
I don't hate him.
What do you like, Strick? Give me an analysis from Strick if you were talking about Kenny Albert.
Oh, there you go.
He's a terrible announcer in hockey, and you know he's not a great guy overall. But you know he's my boy.
It's my guy.
Well played. Very good. All right. Also at 11:30, the commish will join us. Martin will be here at 11. Our opening monologue is brought to you by the great people at Worldwide Technology Raceway. A big summer coming up for them. Let's begin with lap one. Interesting. We had Doug Armstrong on yesterday, and there was a time that we looked at Craig Berube, at least that first month, as the most interim of interim coaches. This guy's not going to stay. He's not doing anything. He's not much in the media, and he's gone. This is it. This is an interim coach. Well, I didn't get that impression yesterday when I asked Doug about Berube's future.
No, we haven't, but I'm not too concerned about it. He and I had talked well before the year was over and said we'll just get to it in the summer, but there's certainly no search going on for a head coach.
Very well played. I could picture Berube saying, yeah, let's just don't worry about it. We'll talk in the summer.
Yeah, well, wouldn't you?
Yeah. You're right, because it's cha-ching, cha-ching with each round. Just imagine.
How Army's going, you sure? You don't want to talk now before it's going
to get this done right away. What do you think? I mean, I wonder if he's like made himself an extra million per year.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh,
I mean, can you imagine?
So.
If he goes to the Stanley Cup final, he probably went from a $2.5 million a year coach to maybe four. I mean, what if they win it? Oh, my goodness. Yeah. It's good to be Craig Berube right now. And then we have the Pat Maroon situation. He's gone from a healthy scratch to a glue guy who you almost have to bring back. Doug had this thought on Pat.
Seeing that the emotion of his son and of Pat yesterday, he feels as good about it as I think the whole community does, that it's great to have a hometown athlete do so well in front of his family. And now the key for our organization now is to understand that what we've accomplished is only 8 wins, and you need 16 to get the ultimate prize, and we have to get back to work. And as I said, enjoy what they accomplished yesterday. For probably today, it's a day off, and then when we get here tomorrow, turn that page and look forward. But I'm just happy for Pat and his family, and what an experience it must be to be able to do that with so many friends and family in the building.
Lap two. So it's going to be the Sharks. Joe Thornton, Brent Burns, and guess who is back?
Hurdle, the only Shark forward to score in this series in the last three games. Brent Burns at the point, scores! On the chip, it's Joe Pavelski!
And it was an unbelievable deflection or redirect. It was spectacular. You know, when you think of the Stars, I mean, when you think of the Sharks, you think of those three players. Burns, Pavelski, and Thornton. Burns, 198 career goals, six-time All-Star. Who controls the back line? Who moves better than he does? Pavelski, just the ultimate winner. 355 goals, three All-Star games. And Thornton, who's going to go to the Hall of Fame, I believe. 413 goals, six All-Star games. They're all, like, Thornton's almost 40, mid-30s for Burns and Pavelski. They just seem like they've been there forever.
You know, don't forget about Erik Karlsson, considered one of the best defensemen in the last 5-10 years. So,
yeah,
you
know, hasn't been as good this year.
No, but still, he's that presence. Yeah, their defensemen are unbelievable.
The whole key to them is Martin Jones. And he had the worst beginning to a postseason than I can ever remember. In fact, they benched him. They pulled him. He was allowing 5 goals per game, I think, the first 4 or 5 games. And then he's caught fire, and he's down to about 2 goals a game. He had a rough regular season, too. So that Shark Tank is scary. It's as loud and as nasty as you can get. It really is. Remember, some of these fans are also Raider fans. So they are the sickest fans in pro sports. I can remember when I was doing the sidelines for the Rams, walking across the field. Let's say it's a 12 o'clock game out there. And it's like 10:30, and Isaac Bruce is walking out there, and I'm kind of behind him. Maybe it's about 11 o'clock. And he's just walking over to the bench very harmlessly, and there's like 10 Raider fans all giving him the finger and throwing the F-bomb at him. And they were painted up, and just, wow. There's nobody as nasty as Raider fans. And part of those Raider fans are also Shark fans. So, an interesting angle with the Sharks and the Blues, because the Sharks are probably the best team over the last decade and a half to not win one. The Blues have been very good too, but they've had a couple of mediocre stretches in that span. Not the Sharks. In 13 of the last 14 seasons, they have 95 or more points. So all these Blues fans were all thinking, hey, we are so overdue, which we are. Imagine if you're a Sharks fan and you're that good. You've had this sustained period of greatness, but not the Stanley Cup. It's like two teams that, you know, get to the Super Bowl all the time but lose. You know, it'd be like if Buffalo played the Vikings or something. Yeah, this is going to be something else. Joey Vitale was with us yesterday. He had these thoughts on the Sharks.
Yes, San Jose has Brent Burns and Karlsson. Players like to get up, but they're also kind of hazards in their own D zone. They're not like Dallas, like Klingberg and Haskinen. They would get up there, but they're responsible defensemen. That was probably as good of a D core we're going to see all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals if we get there. Brent Burns, Karlsson, these kind of defensemen, they get up there, they get into the offense. They don't really worry too much about defense things. Offensively, I will say San Jose might have a little bit of an edge forward-wise because they do have a lot of depth. And they have guys that can score up and down the lineup.
Yeah, watch Burns in this series. You know, there was a stretch in his career. It wasn't long, but they actually played him at forward. That's how good his skills are. All right, lap three. We touched on this yesterday. I wanted to go over it again. The future of the Blues. They really are in good hands. Now, I know you don't want to hear that now. The only thing you want to hear is, hey, they're going to the Stanley Cup final. They beat the Sharks. But think about the players who haven't reached their primes yet, who are quite good. Colton Parayko, he's not there yet. Robert Thomas, no way. Vince Dunn, Jordan Binnington. And then think about the players who are smack dab in the middle of their primes and are going to be really good for a long period of time here. Vladimir Tarasenko, Ryan O'Reilly, Jaden Schwartz, Braden Schenn, Pat Maroon's played really well, Alex Pietrangelo, Joel Edmondson. And there's some more. I mean, David Perron has productive years left. He had a really good regular season. And if they can just get another solid year out of Jay Bouwmeester and Alexander Steen, I mean, I'm not sure of the flaws of this organization moving forward, and I'm not sure how many moves Doug Armstrong has to make this offseason. I promise you, July 1st, 2019 won't be as eventful as the last July. Lap four. There are some flaws with the Cardinals right now. Seven hits and one run in two games. Three of the last six, they have one run or less. Who would have thought a week ago that we would be complaining about the offense? Paul Goldschmidt, 0 for 3, 6 for his last 49. And he talked with the media after the game yesterday.
It stinks to go out there and not perform, and you know, especially when the team's losing. And I feel like, you know, I've had opportunities to drive guys in or get on base for the guys behind me and haven't done a good enough job of that. So, like I said, that's on me and just try to show up each day and, you know, play well, go out there and try to help us win, and just try to do that tomorrow and going forward for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I don't think we should be too worried about him, though. I think he'll be fine. So right now, if we did the game of above expectations or meeting expectations or exceeding them, Matt Carpenter below, Paul Goldschmidt below, Paul DeJong above, Marcell Ozuna above, Jose Martinez above, Yadier Molina above, Dexter Fowler above, and Colton Wong, I was going to say meeting, but now the guy's down to 237.
Yeah, he's in a... Defensively, I'd say he's meeting, though.
Oh, yeah.
Which is why he's in the lineup.
And, you know, I got to tell you something, Brian, too, though. This Jairo Munoz, every time this guy plays, he hits. He had two more hits yesterday. He's hitting 381. I mean, I'm not sure how you play him very often because you don't want Colton to go into a funk, you know, and I'm sure manager Schultz is monitoring the psyche of Colton Wong. Boy, Jairo Munoz is a good player. Maybe play him at third base against lefties once in a while and give Matt Carpenter a break, or do you need to play Jed Jerko?
I think your infield just needs to stay your infield. I know it's tough because you like Jed and you like Jairo, but if you're messing with your infield, it's because you're not a very good team. This infield was supposed to be consistent and be consistently played. I think once you start doing platooning in the infield, you're kind of admitting that something's not working.
A couple of enigmatic pitchers go tonight, Musgrove and Waka. It's a 6:45 start tonight. Pirates are just... They're 17-16, just a couple of games behind the Cardinals. Big start for Michael Waka, though, who I just picked up on my fantasy league team. All right, lap five. So I know some of you don't want to hear about the NBA, but actually the TV ratings in St. Louis for the NBA postseason are pretty good. And the fact that this is a local story, I think we can rationalize it. I really feel badly for Jason Tatum in the NBA right now. I mean, if Kyrie Irving goes back to Boston, Tatum may turn into just like an average player. We may never hear from Jason Tatum again. Kyrie has spoiled Tatum's sophomore season. I don't know if you saw the game last night, but that was just brutal. Kyrie Irving goes 6 for 21. Now get this. Here's the stat that just sums this man up. He played 33 minutes as a point guard for the Boston Celtics, and he had one assist. That sums him up. This is the same franchise that was in the Eastern Conference Final last year and almost beat LeBron with Jason Tatum dunking on LeBron. Then you bring Kyrie back and they fall apart. He's just so selfish. I think he's the worst thing in Tatum's life, although I bet they have a decent relationship.
I would say Kobe's the worst thing in Tatum's life.
Well, I bet they have a decent relationship because they're Duke guys and Jason is really a good guy. But on the court, he's killed them. Now, I hope Jason doesn't have to play with him again, but I'll say this. Tatum does have to improve his shooting, which from three-point range did go down. And I think he has to get better as a ball handler, too, as a small forward, and get to the rim as often as possible. But here's the thing. Tatum just may be the trade chip in the deal for the brow. I mean, I think that if they hope to get him, I mean, if they lose Kyrie, maybe they make that move and Tatum would have to go in it. Golden State game. Boy, this is going to be interesting now. Golden State wins it last night. Steph woke up, but Kevin Durant has a calf injury. And if you saw the way he walked off the court yesterday, it doesn't look like he's coming back. We'll find out. All right, lap six. So our friend Drew Hanlon, who's going to have to work with Jason, who's worked with Brad Beal and David Lee, and normally anybody he works with gets better and better, is now working with an interesting player. 5'10" Drew Hanlon, who's all about ball skills and shooting off the dribble and curling and just doing everything skill-related, has a new workout partner, and his name is Taco Fall, 7'6". Somebody joked, is Drew going to turn him into a stretch five? How about that? That's going to be quite a project. Food idea. Our food picks this week is the Bird and Barrel. Has anybody been there?
Bird and Barrel. Oh, I need to look that up. I've heard it. Have I been there? Where is that?
It's in South St. Louis, and they actually have a stand at the Enterprise Center.
You know, I think I have been there.
This is a must for you, Plowsy. What they do is they specialize in chicken. They have some great macaroni and cheese and some really other great items. They have a dill-flavored French fry.
Oh, yeah, off Cherokee.
Yeah. But this chicken, this is why this chicken is special. They put it in a brine, their own special recipe, for 3 full days. Then they take it out and they put the flour on it, then they put it in the refrigerator again for another 2 hours before they put it in the deep fryer. Boy, I brought some back to the station yesterday, and oh, my
goodness. The station, or?
Oh,
there he goes again. He talks about it all the time on the radio, where he's going, and it always ends with, I brought food back to the station, but it's always the wrong one.
Well, actually, we shot the thing at 7:30, and I came by here. Nobody was here. So maybe Chuck was here. I don't know.
Go figure.
Yeah.
That was when Chuck was interviewing Martin. I got to go back and listen to that.
You interviewed Martin last night?
Talk about blues.
I was with him the night before. I guess Barry Switzer was unavailable.
He couldn't. You know, that interview right now is the one he just replays. It's getting a little outdated when they're talking about Blaine Gabbert at Mizzou. So they got to find a new one to replay.
I mean, I don't want to say that interview is really old, but when Barry Switzer starts talking about how great player Billy Sims is, I think it kind of gives you
an idea. Asking him how James Franklin's going
to see him graduate, Frank.
All right, those are some of my thoughts. Before we go to break, quick word about Hollywood Casino. It's the place to be this weekend. Blues playing Saturday night. 99 Hops House is the place to watch a game. All those TVs, 99 different beers to choose from. Oh, my goodness, they do a great job. And that Final Cut Steakhouse, one of the best steakhouses in St. Louis. Great people watching place. Hollywood Casino, they are our title sponsor. Great guest list, Joe Micheletti, Martin, and the one and only, the commish, Rick Hummel. We'll be right back.